Isaiah 60. But we'll take time just to read the chapter through the 22 verses. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see all they that gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side, then thou shalt see and flow together. And the heart and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come up to thee, the multitudes of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee, the rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance upon mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as the cloud, and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favour I have had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree and the pine tree and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt suck, also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, I the Lord am thy Saviour, and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood, brass, and for stones, iron. I will also make thine officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall be no more heard in the land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. For thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither be it for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, I, Jehovah, will hasten it in his time. Or I, Jehovah, eagerly with excitement shall hasten it in his time. Last night we looked briefly at some of those songs contained in the book of Isaiah. We began, of course, with the song of redemption on the shores, on the banks of the Red Sea, with the nation of Israel having been delivered from Egypt. The reason why I wanted to look at what I did last night was to just get an overview, a panoramic picture of the nation of Israel, and of course to take some lessons that would be practical and applicable to us in our daily walk. But I think that's a good idea when we come to the scriptures. It's something which has been passed on to me, which has been very helpful to me in my Christian life, to get a perspective of the Word of God. Get a bird's eye view. I enjoy that when I would come to a book. If I'm going to study a book in the scriptures, I have been taught, and I believe well taught, that I would not just start at verse 1 and start ploughing my way through verse by verse by verse and getting into the nitty-gritty details immediately, but that I would get an overview of that book and that I might read it 8, 10, 12, 15 times before I do anything else. Just read it and read it and read it. Now, I cheat a little bit, and I think it's a good idea. I've got the Bible on audio. So what I do is I put the Bible on audio. Alexander Scorby is an excellent reader of the authorized version of the scriptures. And I get Alexander Scorby, I put him on the speakers or on the headphones, and I get the Bible and I read it, and I read it at his pace, and I read it through, and I'll read that book and I'll read it again. Now, I hope this is allowed, but I like to go for a cycle ride where I can in the mornings, so I get onto my bike when I can, and I get my headphones in. Well, if you saw me, if you were driving up the street, you might think I was listening to some of that heavy music. But if you see me cycling down the street and I've got my earphones in, don't worry, I'm listening to the scriptures. And so I listen to the book that I'm reading. And I might listen to it, depending on the length of it, of course. You listen to Isaiah, you don't get very far in your cycle ride, or you don't get very far in the book in your cycle ride. But I like to listen to it over and over, just to get a bird's eye view, get a panoramic picture of what the Spirit of God is saying in that. And that helps me then when I come to the detail. I was sharing with Friedlib this afternoon that I'm a person of diagrams. You give me a diagram, I prefer that any day. I like to have something in diagram form. In fact, sometimes when I'm studying the scriptures, I'll have my pencil and my pad and I'll draw a little diagram. Say, for example, I might be studying something about the assembly or about the Lord's people, and I'll just draw something that resembles an assembly. And so I get something in my mind that I can picture it. I find that helpful. So last night we just briefly had an overview of the nation of Israel being delivered out of Egypt, the song that they sung. But that nation wandered, of course, and disobeyed God and rebelled and went away and was unfaithful to Jehovah. And God looked upon that nation with whom he expected it to bear fruit, and it was barren and unfruitful. Peter would speak to us about that, of course, in his second epistle, wouldn't he? That if we neglect these things, he says, we become barren and unfruitful, and we're blind. forgetting that can't see afar off, and forgetting that we were once purged from our sins. So it's a good thing to be fruitful in our lives. But the nation was unfruitful. But we saw, didn't we, that there's coming a day when God is going to reveal himself to that nation in the person of his Son, and they'll understand that is their Messiah. And they'll cry out those words of Isaiah chapter 53, Zechariah 12. And they'll understand that he was wounded for our transgressions. Then the nation will be restored. It won't only be restored, but you remember Job. He wasn't only restored, was he? He was given an abundance. And that's just the heart of God, isn't it? God doesn't only like to see a person restored. He doesn't only like to see us reconciled to himself. I've just been considering this of recent times in the subject of reconciliation. That being reconciled to God, we're not brought back up to the standing where Adam was. Oh, brothers and sisters, we're taken so much further, aren't we? We're elevated so much higher. One thing to be restored back to where Adam was. But God takes us so much further. And in Christ, we're accepted in the beloved. Never to be removed from that position. So the nation of Israel will not just be restored, but replenished and rewarded. And they don't deserve it, do they? No. And neither do I. That's God's grace. His marvelous grace. When we come to Isaiah chapter 16, we see here that the main theme in this chapter is light. And so I've got some headings across the chapter which just break it down, and they all concern light. In verses 1 to 2, we find the arrival of the light. The arrival of the light. We will notice that it's seen by all. Verses 1 to 2, the arrival of the light. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. At last, the light for the nation has arrived. Verses 3 to 6, we see the attraction to the light. The attraction to the light. The Gentiles shall come. Midian, Ephah, Sheba, those from Kedar and Nabaioth. And we see that they're drawn, they're attracted to the light, and they'll come up to the light. What a day it will be, and we'll look closely tonight at who those ones exactly are. In verses 7 to 11, we find that there's not now attraction only to the light, but there's attendance unto the light. That's a biblical order, by the way. It's worship and service. And we see here the biblical order displayed, that they come up in worship, but they don't stop there. They attend unto the altar. And there's service, there's attendance unto the light. They bring their silver and gold with them. We see in verses 12 to 14 that there's the authority of the light. For there, nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. These nations shall be utterly wasted. And we see very clearly the authority of the light. Them that despise thee, verse number 14, shall bow themselves down unto thee. Then we see in verses 15 to 16, there's the acceptance of the light. I will make thee an eternal excellency. Thou hast been forsaken and hated so that no man went through thee. That was their condition. That was their enduring. But he said, I'm going to make you accepted, an eternal excellency. But we see that there's not only of the acceptance of the light in verses 15 and 16, but in verse 17, I've just called that the assessment in the light. For in the light of the Son of God, he will reveal as he brings out things, it's so much more. There is so much more of an abundance. But what does it say? Brass, there will be gold. Iron, silver, wood, brass, stones, iron. And we'll see a little lesson of assessing things in a right light. Maybe things that they thought were once attractive. Ah, says the Lord, I'll bring something so much better than that. And they'll have a right assessment. But verses 18 to 22, to me, is the apex of the light. As it would begin, something which the nation longs for and has longed for since its birth. And that is, violence shall no more be heard in the land. The apex of the light, the Lord, shall be unto thee an everlasting light. The apex of the light, the sun shall no more go down. The apex of the light, thy people also shall be all righteous. What a day it will be for the nation of Israel. We come back. No, I'll have a look at that later. We begin at verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That first word, arise, it literally would mean stand up. You can understand that, can't you? It literally means rise up above. It would be the word used of Cain when he rose up to slay his brother. He rose up above his brother, or so he thought. That was his intention. Stand up. Rise up above. How can we understand this, brothers and sisters? Well, you just consider this. Where's the nation at this point? The nation of Israel is not on its knees. It's on its face. It's down. It has endured the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, a time whereby it gets to the point where it is just a millimeter from being wiped out. Never before has the nation experienced such appalling violence and conditions. We think the nation has seen, the Jewish nation and the people themselves have seen some awful tragedies throughout the history of mankind, as men would always have driven by the enemy, have sought to eliminate and to do away with God's people. That is ever the intention of the enemy. Just that he may completely do away with and eliminate anything that's of God. By the way, brothers and sisters, you know that's his intention for the assembly at Mornington, don't you? His intention is that the assembly at Mornington would cease to function. He wouldn't just want to cripple you. He would want to wipe you away. And that would be the enemy's intention ever down the ages, that anything that God has taken up, he would seek to destroy. He would seek to put out of the way. And it's no different for the nation of Israel. But do you think 6 billion Jews in World War II was something, and some terrible suffering? Oh, brothers and sisters, we have absolutely no idea or reckoning of what the Great Tribulation will be. Never before on the face of the earth has their sin been seen. Such terrible judgment. And you know, the enemy gets to a point and he thinks he's won. You see, at the moment, they're gathered round the nation, aren't they? And they think their intention is to wipe the nation out. But we can be thankful, brothers and sisters, we know that God is over the affairs of men. It may be the enemy's intention to wipe the nation of Israel out, but what God has done so often in the scriptures before, he's going to do again. He's going to allow the enemy to come because he's going to bring judgment for the nation. And in bringing judgment for the nation, he'll allow those enemies to come up against Israel. You see, the enemy's intention and the enemy's mindset is, we're going up against Israel. We're going to wipe Israel out. And they'll get to the point where they'll just about succeed. You see, all the while, God's had his hand on this, of course. And we would read that in the Old Testament. Very clearly prophesied, and just as the enemy thinks they've won, what do we find? Arise, shine, for thy light is come. What a day for the nation. Oh, would this just give us just an encouragement this evening. That we too are waiting the arrival of the Lord Jesus. But as we've been looking at over the weekend, he's not going to come when we're down on our knees and we're under the judgment of God and we're suffering the judgment, that tribulation. But he's going to come, our morning star from the east. And as this world sleeps, with a shout, he'll call us away. Oh, what a tremendous hope that we have. We'll see him face to face. We'll meet him in the air. Israel will meet him on the earth. Israel will be down on their faces and suddenly arise, shine. Finally, thy light has come. What a day for the nation, brothers and sisters. But can we get anything out of this passage that would be applicable to us? Certainly we can. But let's just think. Arise, shine. The word shine there is the same word used in Exodus, where it would say the pillar of cloud went by day and fire by night to lead the way, to shine the way. It is literally bearing testimony. Arise, bear testimony, for thy light has come. Stand up, lift up yourselves. Ah, this will be a day in which the nation will bear testimony. Did we not see that last night? A day when they will sing the song in the land, and those who were once their enemies will hear that song loud and clear, and they'll be unashamed. Here is the commencement of that. Arise, shine, bear forth testimony, thy light has come. The word light there is literally brightness of the sun. This would bring us to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, wouldn't it? Where the sun, S-U-N, shall arise. The sun of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. What a day for the nation. When their sunshine shall appear. Oh, brothers and sisters, I was meditating upon this in my study a few weeks ago. And I was thinking about this. You see, we're not waiting for the sun of righteousness. We're not waiting for the sunshine to arise. We're not waiting for the light, which is the brightness of the sun. Why? What are we waiting for? We're waiting for the morning star. And I ask myself the question, why are we waiting for the morning star and Israel are waiting for the sun? My wife came into the study. And my wife's far more spiritually intelligent than I am. And so I put the question to her, why do you think we're waiting for the morning star? And or I may have just said, I've been meditating on why we're waiting for the morning star and Israel are waiting for their sun, for the sunshine. And she said, oh, well, yeah, I think that would be pretty easy. She said, you see, when the morning star arrives, you go out tomorrow morning, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, you look at the morning star. And you'll see on the that behind the morning star there's a glow on the horizon. The sun hasn't risen. And you know, following the morning star is the sunshine. And she just said to me, she said, well, the morning star would be that something has to follow it. But when the sun rises, there's nothing to follow it. And I thought, Maya, that's it. Verse 20, thy sun shall go down no more. There's the answer. Oh, the beautiful picture. This again is clearly to us bringing things into distinction, that these things happen in order, and that these things happen in absolute sublime perfection. That we're waiting for our morning star at the book of the Revelation and chapter 22, as the Lord Jesus himself would declare him to be the morning star, the root and offspring of David. Again, Peter would say, when the day star, the morning star, arise in your hearts, and the whole anticipation of the believer now is to just wait for the morning star, and he'll appear, and he'll shout, and he'll call us away. And then there'll be a small period of time. And that will be the darkness of the tribulation and the great tribulation. And we'll be in heaven and the judgment seat of Christ will take place. And the marriage of the Lamb will take place. And then we'll come forth with him in all his glory. And the sun shall shine upon Israel. Oh, brothers and sisters, arise, shine, for thy light is come. What does it say? And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Oh, can I just take time to speak about the glory of the Lord? As I was in my at the desk this morning and thinking about this chapter, I was thinking about the glory of the Lord, and it just came to me freshly. The glory of the Lord to shine upon Israel. What glory of the Lord? I asked myself the question as I sat at the desk this morning. What is the glory of the Lord that shall shine upon Israel? Ah, yes, it's his essential glory. Surely it's his moral glory. Surely it's his regal glory. But is it his acquired glory? Will we not be with him? Oh, brothers and sisters. He shall come, Romans 8 says, glorified in his saints. Oh, just turn with me to a few scriptures, because I just enjoyed this so much this morning. Come with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll just see this sequence and how we'll be displayed with him in glory. And when the glory of his light shall dawn upon the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel, who will they see when they lift up their eyes? Oh, they'll see their Messiah. But brothers and sisters, they'll see his bride. What a tremendous day. We'll be with him. 1 Peter chapter 1. But what would it say in verse 7? It would tell us that the trial of our faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now that word appearing there is number 602 in the dictionary that you can look up. I'm not going to try and pronounce it in the Greek, but it literally is the manifestation. And at the manifestation of Christ to the nation, what's happening to us now, brothers and sisters, will be then to his praise, honor, and glory. Are we receiving trials now? Oh, says Peter, how you go through the trials will be to his praise, honour and glory in the coming day. Oh, invested in his glory, he'll come forth and shine to the nation. But brothers and sisters, what's happening now in you and I is to be for his praise, his honour, and his glory at his appearing. His appearing in the rapture? No, his manifestation back to the earth. What a day it will be. So Peter says, don't grumble through the trials now. Don't shrug them off. He says that this When it's tried by fire, it will be found. It needs to be. It should be. The whole desire of it is that it's found in His praise, honor, and glory at His appearing. What does He tell me in chapter 4? Chapter 4 and verse 13. We know that sufferings would precede glory. And chapter 4 and verse 13, it would tell me that, well, at verse 12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Oh, brothers and sisters, these fiery trials which we're passing through now, they're to His praise, honour and glory. But further than that, says Peter, keep the mind in focus. We will joy with exceeding joy when He is manifest. It's the same word. When He is manifest out and every eye shall see Him. Oh, glorified in His saints. That day, brothers and sisters, we'll see the worth of the trials. But we'll see how worth it was to be persecuted for Christ's sake. We'll see how worth it was to stand for His name and bear testimony in local assembly fellowship. We'll see how worthwhile it was to be associated with Him. I do trust that we're all associated with Him in the meeting this evening. What a day. What a day, brothers and sisters. Linked with Him eternally. What would it tell us? Turn with me into 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7. It would tell us there, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed, the same word again, when the Lord Jesus shall be made manifest from heaven with His mighty angels. Verse 10, when He shall come, glorified to be glorified in His saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Oh, brothers and sisters, it just caused me to stop in absolute awe as I would think, just meditated on that passage in Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And He comes forth in full manifestation with shining in His glorious apparel. His bride, there the saints, glorified, that He might be glorified in His saints. And now, as Revelation would tell us, that we're weaving that garment which shall be bright and shining, the righteousnesses of the saints, the righteous acts of the saints. Oh, what a day it will be when it will be displayed. You and I, brothers and sisters, have the high honour and the high privilege to be linked with Him eternally. And we will be with Him, made manifest. You know, I was thinking about this. I don't know whether you saw the royal wedding recently. Now, I'm British, so I probably am supposed to take note of things like that. But you just think about this. I thought this was a good illustration as I thought on it. Prince William, the future king, he took his bride. I'm sorry, it shows how patriotic I am. I can't even remember her name. But he took his bride. Now, I saw the pictures on the internet as they came forth out of the building that they got married in. Now, you imagine, brothers and sisters, you're all watching it. You're watching it with bated breath. You were, weren't you? And the whole world is watching with bated breath. And the crowds outside are watching with bated breath. And out comes the bridegroom. And there's no bride. It would have been a bit of kind of a letdown, wouldn't it? We all wanted to see his bride. We all wanted to see who he had chosen.
We all wanted to see that something that would just cause him to shine forth.
Now, brothers and sisters, I am absolutely, well, I'm a young man, so I have to make sure I just am careful what I say. But at this present time, I am absolutely convinced that we will not be left behind in heaven. But according to the word of God, we'll come out with him. And we'll be displayed with him. You imagine the future king, William, coming out of that building. No bride. Where's your bride? Oh, I left her. I didn't think you'd be interested in her. Oh, brothers and sisters, it's our responsibility. It's our privilege that he's going to be glorified in his saints. We have the high privilege of displaying something of his glory in that day. You and I sit in this room here in Dunedin with all the wickedness that's abounding, and no one cares about us, and we're despised, and we're downtrodden. You and I are going to be displayed. You know what it tells me in Colossians chapter 3 when it says, Christ is our life, who is our life shall appear, and we shall appear with him in glory. It uses a different word for appearing there. It's not the manifestation that we've read together in these three readings. It uses a word there that further than the manifestation of what we've read together already this evening in Peter and Thessalonians, and again you'll read it in Romans chapter 8. That's the manifestation, the act. But you know, in Colossians it goes one step further. He says that's the manifestation, the understanding. In that day, your life presently is hid with Christ in God. But in that day, it will be understood. They'll look. Now we know why they were so weird. Now we know why they were so separate from us. Look, we understand. And he'll be displaying his bride in that day. What a tremendous high honour for you and I. Romans 8 verse 17. Just turn with me briefly to that and we'll get back to Isaiah. Romans 8 and verse number 17. Again, these things should just thrill our hearts, brothers and sisters. We'll come out with them. Romans 8 and verse number 17. Here it says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now again he uses a slightly different word. Read on with me and we'll see he uses three words. The glory which shall be revealed in us. And then he says, for the earnest expectation, and he uses another word there, of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And he uses another word. Now he uses three words which are right next door to each other. That first word he uses, the glory which shall be revealed, is number 601. And again, I'm not going to try and pronounce it. The next word he uses, where he says it's the earnest expectation, that's 603. And then he says the manifestation of the sons of God, that's 602. And that's the first three references we looked at in Peter and in Thessalonians. So here, basically what he's saying is this. The sufferings of the present time, we think they're hard. We think that they're too hard to endure. Or he says, I wouldn't even begin to try and compare them with the glory which is to follow. brothers and sisters, which shall be revealed. The glory which shall be revealed. For the earnest expectation, the eager anticipation, is that there would be the manifestation of the sons of God. Who is the eager anticipation? Here it's the creation. The whole creation is just pining and waiting and eagerly anticipating with bated breath the manifestation of the sons of God, which is you and I, and will be manifest with him, the Bible says. And we'll be displayed, we'll have the privilege to display his glory. Oh, what a day it will be. And he says the sufferings now, we can't compare with what's to follow, can we? The privilege that's ours. Oh, brothers and sisters, the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, I'm getting right ahead of myself, but I want to just connect this with the last verse of Isaiah 16. Because it said that the whole creation is eagerly anticipating the manifestation of the sons of God when we'll be displayed in glory with the Lord Jesus. What does the last verse say of Isaiah 16? It says the Lord will, and it literally means eagerly with excitement, hasten it. You know, if the whole creation just is pining for the day when the Lord Jesus shall come out and come forth with his bride, and there'll be a manifestation to the earth, if the whole creation is waiting for that, think of how Jehovah God is eagerly anticipating this day. All that he longed for, that the nation would be restored and be replenished, his bride set with his son. Oh, what a day, brothers and sisters, when God finally draws all things together, and the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus shall be glorious, and it shall be tremendous to behold, tremendous to be part of. And you and I have the privilege of being associated with him in a position which is unique and precious and incomparable. Arise. Shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. I want to go through a few things in this chapter briefly before we finish. It says the Gentiles shall come to the light. The Gentiles shall come to the light. Notice with me in verse number 5 that it says the forces, or literally the wealth of the Gentiles, shall come unto thee. And the multitude of camels shall cover thee. That literally means that there will be copious amounts of burden bearers that will just cover the land, bringing up their gifts. If the forces of the Gentiles is the multitude of camels, that's the weight. Just think of the worth, the wealth and the weight of the goods that are going to come up to the nation of Israel. And it's literally going to cover every corner of the nation, as there would be from afar and from the nations. What do they bring, brothers and sisters? The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and they from Sheba shall come. Well, this is who's coming, isn't it? Who's Midian? Who's Ephah? Well, Midian, you know, is strife. And Ephah is the sons of strife. Oh, this was just a joy to my heart. If there's ever been strife, and the sons of strife, that would unceasingly attack the nation of Israel, there's coming a day when strife and the sons of strife shall come up with their gifts. What a day it will be. What a turnaround. It says, they from Sheba shall come. We know the Queen of Sheba came up from to see Solomon, don't we? But in that day, this is the kings of Sheba. And the kings of Sheba shall come up. What shall they bring? They shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Ah, oh, brothers and sisters. Sheba, I think, is the fourth mention from Noah. Noah, Ham, Cush. Noah, Ham, Cush, Ramea. Oh, that may not be how you pronounce it. And then Sheba. You know what I thought? When God looked down in the generations of Noah, when they came out of the ark, what would come forth from his loins would be ones who would go up to the Lord Jesus. There would be ones that would go up to take him gifts of gold. This is a parallel of Psalm 72. Now when you come to Psalm 72, and I think it's verse 15, there are three things that the kings of Sheba take up to the Lord Jesus in the millennium. And in here, they take gold, incense, and praise. And in Psalm 72, the kings of Sheba, they're going to take up gold. And then it says, they shall pray for him continually, or daily, and they shall praise him continually. I just thought about that. Think of this. What is it incense often seen as a picture of in the scriptures? Prayer. What are they doing in Psalm 72, the kings of Sheba? As they would bring up gold, incense, praying for him, and bring their praises to him. Oh, what a day when the nations are going to pray for the Lord Jesus. What a day, brothers and sisters. The nations of this world will be changed. They'll be turned. What does it tell me here? They bring gold, incense and praises. Oh, what did they bring to his birth? They brought to the birth of the Lord Jesus gold, which represented his deity. Frankincense, which represented his holy humanity. Myrrh, which represented his sufferings. What do they bring in the millennium? They bring gold for his deity. They bring incense for his holy humanity. And they bring no more myrrh. The sufferings are over. They'll bring praises instead of myrrh. What a day, brothers and sisters, to think the sufferings of Christ are finished. And he'll come forth in all his splendor and his glory, and we'll be with him. And they'll offer to him praise, and they'll offer to him incense, and they'll offer to him gold, and they'll bring the very best, and they'll come up from all around. It tells me the flocks of Kedar and the rams of Nebaioth. Who are the flocks of Kedar? Who are the rams of Nebaioth? Well, Kedar and Nebaioth are the sons of Ishmael, the first two sons of Ishmael. Oh, brothers and sisters, Kedar would mean strength. Nebaioth would mean the amount. Sorry, it's the other way round. Kedar would mean the amount. Nebaioth means strength. You think about this for a moment. The sons of Ishmael, you know who they are, don't you? They're populating the earth. There's certainly strength with them, isn't there? And there's certainly a great number of them too, permeating through the world. But you know the sons of Ishmael, they're in their strength and in their numbers at present working against the Lord Jesus. You would know their zeal, wouldn't you? You only have to been watching the news and look at the Middle East, and you know the zeal of these ones that are bent on wiping out the nation of Israel. But it says in that day, the flocks, that's their amount. The rams, that's their strength. They'll come up and they'll bring praises to the Lord. What does it say about them? It says that the flocks of Kedar, that's the amount as we've seen, and the rams in their strength of Nebaioth, shall minister unto thee, attendants unto the light. They shall come up with acceptance upon mine altar. Oh, brothers and sisters, that warmed my heart. Where is their altar now? Oh, they fight over that little bit in the capital, Jerusalem, don't they? As they would have their Dome of the Rock, and they would have their mosque there, and they would go up to the mosque, and they would go up to their altars, and they would just seek that Israel will be wiped out. Oh, he says, they'll come up in their flocks, they'll come up in their strength. But what are they going to do? they'll bring acceptance to mine altar. Oh, what a day. What a day. What a day, brothers and sisters, when these ones who have persecuted the nation, these ones who have sought to utterly wipe it out, they'll turn, they'll come forth, and they will not be able to hold back as they come up to the Lord and unto His light and minister to Him and bring acceptance unto His altar. Oh, no dome of the rock in that day. He says, who are these? Sorry, I will glorify the house of my glory. Well, I would again link that with chapter 6. The whole earth shall be full of His glory. Well, no, I would link verse number 2 to the whole earth being full of His glory. For the glory shall rise upon the earth. But I would link this in verse number 7. I will glorify the house of my glory. Ah, His train filled the temple. What a day. And He sits upon His throne. And the whole earth is full of His glory. Brothers and sisters, we have really... my appreciation is lacking and my understanding is lacking. What a tremendous day. They shall come up and attend unto the light. But it says the doves, those that fly as the cloud, and the doves to their windows, the doves would be the pigeons as they would return home. Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of their of Tarshish first. What a day it will be when there's a return to the land. One has suggested, and you can just share this comment with you. Who are they that fly as the cloud? And one has suggested that maybe that's air transport. As there would be those that would come up to the nation. And in that day, as they would return back to the land, just to bring acceptance for the Lord. But I'll leave that with you. I'm not so sure. I'll just leave that comment out there. So, the authority of the light, very briefly. We see that there's significance of adherence. If there's been the service of the nations, if there's been sacrifices brought, now there's the significance of adherence. He says, those nations and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly wasted. Here he would express his authority. He shall rule and reign. He shall rule with a rod of iron, the scripture says, doesn't it? In that day, as he would rule in righteousness. It will be a wonderful day for the government of this world. Not a democracy. This is what God always intended. That His Son would take up the government of the world. On His shoulder shall be the government of the world. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What a day, brothers and sisters. But we see, they that despise thee, verse 14, they shall bow themselves down at the soles of their feet. You can't get any lower than that, can you? They'll come right down. There'll be a complete turnaround. If now they would trample them down with the soles of their feet, then that day they're going to bow down to the soles of their feet. We see there's the acceptance of the light, that salvation. I will make thee an eternal excellency, the privilege that to suck the milk of Gentiles and the breast of kings. Oh, a complete turnaround as we've seen. We see that there's the assessment in the light, and it does me good to take a lesson from this. But in that day, he will bring a right assessment. Brass, I'll bring gold. Iron, silver. What do I put emphasis on now? Things of real spiritual value? Or will, in a day when I meet the Lord, will I have to have my perception changed and my assessment changed? You see what the nation puts emphasis on now? Really, they have no idea of what they're going to come into. But it says that the apex of the light, violence shall no more be heard in the land. What a day! The whole longing of the nation. The sun shall no more be thy light by day. We can link that to Revelation 22 and verse 5. The sun shall no more go down. The Lord shall be the everlasting light. If we saw at the beginning the evidence, and then through the middle of the section the effect, now is the endurance. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself, but the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the people also shall be all righteous. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a day. That's the splendor, of course. Verses 1 to 2, the moment it occurs. Verses 3 to 6, the multitude that come. Verses 12 to 14, the majesty of his rule. Verse 17, the magnitude of blessing. Verse 18 to 22, the magnificence of his reign. What a day. I, the Lord, will hasten in his time. Do we have the high honour and the privilege of being with him, to serve with him? Listen, brothers and sisters, to reign with him. Our privilege. Are you thankful you're saved tonight? Thankful you're bound for glory? I can tell you from the honesty of my own heart, I'm not thankful enough. I need to be more thankful. I need to meditate upon it more. All that God has done and is doing will do. And we'll share with the Lord Jesus and have that privilege to display something of his glory. Let's give thanks. Father, we thank thee for the record of thy word, which would leave us in no doubt as to what thine intentions are, what thy plans are, and all that thou hast ordained, that it would just be that thy creature man would be blessed. We know it's thy desire that every creature in the human race would be blessed of thee. We feel it tonight, Father, as we remember our own pathway and how often we've rejected thee when it's only been in thine intention to bless us. We feel it for those who are outside, some we know and love and some that we wouldn't know who they are, but living in rejection of thee and living in rejection of these blessings. O God, arrest them tonight, we pray. That it may be that they come and join and that holy band and unto glory go. Oh, Father, we give thanks for the prospect that is ours and the prospect of the nation of Israel, although little do they know. Father, we bow in wonder, in adoration, that it was all because of the cross. Help us not to lose sight of Calvary. There, he was wounded for our transgressions. One there who paid for that ultimate price. That we may go free. And we may share with him. O God, accept our thanks and take us home safely, we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't have a hymn. I don't know whether you wanted one. But...